Sorry.
You recall that
I'm sorry to make you together with the Dragon's Bazaar. She asked for the Reverend Stefan I noticed it's easier. Does that mean he could also be asked for
Yes, that's a matter I wanted to clarify and explain. Because I think out of his own concern, to realize that a lot of mention was made around this thing, so we have to go and see it here. So we have to thank him for continuing with his mission and to I noticed, of course, that the previous Minister of Justice was arriving in the centre of the whole controversy. He's not here. Now, it seems to be, if I listened to or heard correctly, that the co-chairs decided to invite Your Honourable Emma, Mr. President Minister of Justice. Now, whilst there was controversy about the letter that was Mahana wrote, while there's a dispute on the facts, and while she did not take the opportunity of giving evidence before the commission of inquiry, can the chairs explain why they did not deem fit and necessary that Ms. Mahana be called to come and appear before the committee?
Before we respond to this one, I saw another slide that is we'll respond to this.
Yes, thank you. Just to endorse the previous speaker, you recall that I did ask last week that the former Minister Mabanda should be called, and I understood from your co-chair that you said that as the process develops, you might consider it necessary to call the former Minister. But it does seem after a lot of what came out yesterday that it is becoming more and more crucial for her to be called because she clearly played a pivotal role and didn't give evidence at the Inquiry Commission relating to the breakdown of relations, which seems to have been the crux of why Advocate Dicozie was suspended. So I just repeat my request in that regard for your ruling, thank you, Chair. And you might not necessarily need to give a ruling now, but as the process develops. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Members.
Thank you, Chair. I think what the Honourable Swart is saying is what we really agreed on last meeting. That from time to time we might entertain requests. So I don't think that it is for the chairs to answer what was done in because it was not what it was agreed upon. If there's a request that in some amount of arms, maybe it could come to this meeting investigated, but there was no decision taken by the chairpersons. Not to call Ms. Mabanda. So if you want her to have investigated, because we are of the opinion that we do not want to rehearse the commission, it's not the commission, this is what we, this is an act of committee of fire, it's not the commission of the fire.
The last question on this matter, the Honourable Delay.
I have a different view on the concerns that we have. My reading and standing of the paperwork that we received here is that the Director General contributed to the letter, but the letter was signed by the Minister, and therefore she must take responsibility for the letter. It's in her signature. She can't come and say it was not my intention, but then she's put her signature to that. So the letter must be accepted that it came from the Minister, it's not because of us.
Yes.
No, all I need to do is just to say, let's proceed. Let's not jump at the time, let's not prevent anything. Let's give the presidency and the minister an opportunity to talk to us. If we have a question, in our question, if it's last that we solicit for the audience or the presentation that the former Minister of Justice, then we can do. But at this point in time, let's concentrate in what we have on the table. I have announced Dr. Martin, Dr. Sebo, Professor Stephen Gould. So let's allow the Minister to make a presentation, and you will get the opportunity of questioning. And with that question, we can establish whether the information and the response we get is appreciated.
Responding on behalf of the presidency. Well, that's my great understanding.
Yeah, he will not respond on behalf of the presidency, but Reverend Chikane is
here. He'll respond on behalf of the presidency.
Yes. Thank you.
But
So after the explanation of this, probably 35 November.
Thank you very much for having me and support clarifying his position. Okay, I said if the president said that if someone wants to clarify before we open for questions,
Chairpersons and members of the community, I associate myself with what the minister said. My concern yesterday when I was told about this matter was that I hope we don't do the harm, because the evidence was presented and the chair of the commission made a ruling. And the president made his decision based on the recommendations of the commission, the very body. And I was told there are some technical issues the committee wants to be assisted with. And I will be ready to assist the committee, understanding that's the requirement.
Yeah. Therefore,
is it legal in order for the goal of association. Isn't this committee, has this committee not only got to deal with the question of the original reasons for suspension? Can a president or can whoever introduce new grounds after the original suspension? Is that acceptable in law? That's my first question. And then a very practical second question. Is it correct that maybe the honorable presidency should answer this one? Is it correct that shortly before the suspension, the first suspension by the president, that was the first time either orally or in writing or in any way, anyone, either the president, either the minister, raised any query about the fitness or the correctness of what the directed for public prosecutions were doing? The question is it correct that shortly in the days before the suspension, it was the very first time that any question mark whatsoever were put against the name Lucy Corey? And I think the honorable Reverend Carmen would probably be the one to answer that in the absence of. Unfortunately, the minister Mabanda, the previous minister, because surely she would have been able to answer that question, seeing that it was said at that time already that there was an irretrievable breakdown in the relationship, something that sure didn't arise in 2-3 days, unless it was a very specific incident that triggered the breakdown, so-called breakdown of trust. Thank you, sir.
You can notice that I don't like stopping or disrupting and disturbing members while they talk. But members should also be considerate of my of our facilitator, Mr. Honda.
Am I to ask my questions now?
I did not go ahead.
Okay, I'll go with it. I have a question to the minister and one to Dr. Chikani. We now have a new Minister of Justice. We call him Kurt Baker because he's there doing his job. I want to read him the letter just to written by the former minister, the 18th of September, 2007. The Minister of Justice directed the letter to the Owen, in which she hinted earlier and with reference to the warrants of arrest against the National Commissioner that had been obtained. She demanded that, quote, until I have satisfied myself that sufficient information and evidence does exist for the arrest and presence of charges against the Commissioner, you shall not pursue the route that you have taken steps to pursue, unquote. I have a legal opinion here from the senior counsel who says this is in direct contradiction of the provisions of section 179(4) of the Constitution, which either highly endorses the independence of the prosecuting authority by providing for its functioning without fear of failure or fairness, against the wording of this letter. I am asking the current Minister of Justice, do you agree that that letter could have been sent? And would you send such a letter? Then I'd like to ask Reverend Chikani, what we are witnessing here is a case against one Lucy Kikoli, who was suspended and dismissed, but the Commission of Inquiry that had to investigate found that he is in fact a fit and proper person. He should be restored. That is the commission that went into everything.
But that commission had about five concerns. These five concerns were yesterday discussed at length by Mr. Pikori, and I'm sure he eradicated any doubts about his fitness. Now, what I'd like to say to Dr. Tikane and ask him, I get the impression that despite the found of not guilty, and the fact that the five concerns have been refuted, I get the impression that the ANC is desperately looking for the smallest thing against Mr. Pikori. Why are you doing this? This is my question. It is an innocent man, he has a long and beautiful career in the ANC, in the struggle, and in the civil service. Why are you doing this to him?
What I want to question you is that you don't ask Mr. Rafael Chikan in his capacity as an ANC member. You said that it is better for you. So what I'm saying is that ask questions to Rafael Chikan. And if you want to ask questions to the ANC, then the ANC is here. And at the same time, Rafael Chikan and Rafael is now Dr. Chikan. But I'm just if you score his academic credentials, you can inform us now. But so far, we know that it's a reference.
He's also a pastor. The question is the same. The political affiliation of Dr. Chikan is pastor.
Okay.
Well, he's going to quit.
I'm going to quit.
I'm going to what I gave you. No, no, no.
You're full of protection. I'm sure. Now, he's not you. You are not protected. You came for some things to say. So, he's protected. Thank you.
Let's go. Thank you, Chairperson. My question is in connection with the reasons for the dismissal of this authority. Yesterday when he was here, he specifically asked him, what was it that he did so wrong that he had to be dismissed? He himself couldn't answer that. We referred back to the letter written by the President to his attorneys, and I want to quote again from that. In that point 3 on page 3, it says, Advocate Pikori's professional competence is not in question. Then he goes on, and in the third last paragraph, he says, I find that Advocate Pikori does not possess all of the qualities required in the National Director of Public Prosecutions. Then we ask Mr. Pikori, when he asked for further particulars, because we couldn't understand that we all lawyers here in the current relationship for this system, we try to understand what are the real reasons, and we can't find it. He says, I did give you further particulars, but the further particulars, like I said, is all in the documents. So if you could please clarify to us exactly what is it that he did from. Thank you.
My question is also directed to the minister and the head of staff, but firstly to the government. Yesterday, I was going to try to see in Parliament to have a president who is not afforded an opportunity to submit a recommendation in respect to other considerations. That might have helped maybe the president in deciding on this issue. Are you aware of any issues that happen to take into consideration as we address this matter, or maybe in case there are other recommendations? And secondly, in respect to issues of security, the president has put a sum of the reasons that made them to terminate his employment. Are there any other opportunities on earth, right? Other than the one that has been raised by the Commission, that the President to think may also assist us as this Parliament is actually able to do the right. And my question also directed to the Minister. As an advocate, the Court says he is protecting the credibility of the prosecuting authority. And the matter of national security cannot actually support evidence that the crime that was committed. Are there any other reasons, Minister, other than those that have been put by advocate? The second day, he was fired because he wanted to arrest the civilians. Anyway, you guys are trying to protect him. And do you think the credibility of the constitutional authority is undermined if the minister, in line with what the constitution and the NDAF says, can and cannot be in relation to the right that they are doing? Thank
you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question goes to the Minister, first of all, and that is, yesterday I raised the importance of the principle of constitutional independence, which I'm sure everyone in that agrees with the need for that, and that it is constitution enshrined. And that in terms of the constitution, legislation is required to protect that, which the NPA sets out. Now, one of the aspects relates to security of tenure. And I think that is a key aspect that we as members of Parliament need to bear in mind when we deal with this whole issue. Advocate Piccoli mentions that the protection of the NDPP, security of tenure, lies at the heart of the principle of prosecutorial independence. Now, that then sets out the whole basis of this inquiry and the process that one goes about when there is a complaint about the certain properness of a NDPP, such as the COVID. It is unprecedented. We've never had it before. You as an attorney know what it means to be a fit and proper person. The question relates specifically as to whether the issues of national security can be raised in a determination of what it means to be fit and proper from your legal opinion. With due regard to section 9.1, which says that to be a fit and proper person, one has to have regard to experience, conscientiousness, and integrity. Now, yesterday I quoted from constitutional law professor Peter Foss, who said, national security is not one of the reasons that can be given to have the NDPP fired. It would be difficult to fire head of the NPA if you cite national security reasons which could fundamentally affect his independence to act without fear and favor. So, would you comment on that aspect from a legal perspective, particularly on the need to protect the security of tenure and the independence of the constitutional authority? And then, Chair, I'll ask a short question to you, Reverend Dr. Chifana. It's good to see you here in Parliament. Just on the issue of the meeting that the State President had with Advocate Piccoli and on the issue of the warrants relating to National Peace Commissioner Salehi and where the period was passed, the 7-day period or the 14-day period. Now, I understand that Advocate Piccoli met with the President and briefed him on 10 occasions. But this particular occasion, were you present at that meeting? And Advocate Piccoli at length explained that his understanding was that the 7-day period was what was prepared to him. And when he left the meeting, there was then going to be a further meeting of the National Security Council. Could you comment on what your understanding was of what happened in that meeting? Were you there and what was your understanding of the President's understanding? Because clearly that, in my view, is the essence of why we're concerned about that, because of not having an appreciation of the national security environment. Thank you, Chippers.
Honourable Douglas.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chani,
Theory for me is a tale of two prisons here. We had the prison which oversaw the regional suspension of Dr. McCauley, and we had a prison that now pronounced a determination concerning him. But clearly the suspension and the reasons for him now being terminated are two different elements completely. I feel that firstly, this house should look into the fact that I believe the former president abused his power as a president. I'm saying strong words, but from all intents and purposes, it could be seen and perceived that Jack Sabeti's whole arrest and prosecution was stopped by Thomasine and McCauley. My concern is, in terms of labor law in South Africa, in terms of how we view suspensions, should he not be suspended upon the regional reasons that he was suspended, not upon subsequent evidence or subsequent things that came out from the commission? It was refused, the commission found fit and proper. And that was what was required. So should he not be reinstated and then recharged if necessary under the national security issues?
Hello, Mamma. You are sitting too far away from the members.
Thank you, Jay. I'm sure technology is good enough so everybody can hear what I'm going to say. Jay, I wish to direct the following questions to both the presidency and the president of the government. Kindly provide me with clarity on the
concept. Mr. Simon.
Yes,
because most of the members don't know, you tell them that you are Mr. Simons from what party?
I am Mr. Simmons. I'm the leader of the National Alliance.
Oh.
Thank you, sir. As I said, I wish to ask the following question to both the presidency and Advocate Authority. Can you provide me with clarity on what constitutes matters of national security against the background of the presumed involvement of former national police commissioner in criminal activity?
Just a few months, just on a point of order, somebody is making a vision. Mr. Simons, are you a member of this committee?
Jay, I am not a member as appointed to serve on this committee, but that doesn't mean that because I am not on the committee that I can't speak in the committee. I've seen the rules of Parliament for a reason that can speak, but when it comes to voting, I will have no right. The tongues, the mafia gangs were precisely the required understanding and sensitivity of our actual security.
Remember, you ask your question.
Coming to the question.
I think it's going to come, remember. Please.
Listen,
officer.
Please. Are we at the holy? As we pray, what we pray, taking the sound he has, it is an interesting development that Christ he found that he's decreasing. And then he says the suspension of his disability. Finally, why was the former president ready to pray that an investigation be instituted in matters of national security are deemed to shape the activities of the National Police Commissioner? Thank you, sir.
Yes, I don't want to warn members, especially Mr. Simons, that rather it be your party and this is not the right platform. I know that you are one party leader, but this is not the right platform, sir. Okay, we have given the opportunity to the Golden Minister and the President to respond. That will come to the second round.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I almost feel that I'm in the courtroom rather than in the committee proceedings. But I also notice that the honorable members of the opposition who are lawyers have loaded their questions in such a way that they make long statements before they even look at the questions. So, you know, it says a lot about what you mean by competence. You can be a very competent and efficient lawyer, but a very poor politician. Everybody who's having the quiz on the matter who's sitting out there, an old friend and colleague of mine, is both an astute politician and a lawyer. So it means that certain positions require combination skills. And in fact, more than just two policies, it means more than one attribute. And I think one must understand that one cannot look at any through a narrow lens. One has to look at the national policy. And that precisely my opinion is what the president can do. When he looked at the commission report, he did not look at one part of the commission report, he had to look at the entire spectrum of it. Look at the evidence, consider the evidence that was left, but more importantly, what were the findings of the commission in relation to the person, in relation to the office that the person holds and occupies. And that qualities and the attributes and the characteristics that are necessary for that particular office would include a range of things, as Jim Wallace correctly points out. I mean, you know, I'm quite amazed at the selective quotation by Mr. Swartz. It's not sure of what Jim Wallace is. Now, I mean, that's the kind of policy we need. I think we'll be discussing that when she comes. He stops at the quotation from Jim Wallace. And she said, they must get appreciation of the significance of the role of the prosecuting authority, not of he or she. Must understand what role they play in a particular constitutional dispensation that speaks about cooperation and collaboration, that speaks about being able to do your work without fear, threat, or prejudice, which speaks about integrity, but also be mindful of the fact that you work in an environment that you have to, collaborate, and there has to be a synergy between what you do and what the executive does. Not the one seeking to undermine the other, not the one seeking to abuse his or her power. And I think that's one of the attributes that in my opinion, that the public prosecutor should play, measured by the public prosecution should play. But it's interesting that I refer to the quotation of this one, because after the quotation, state the point, to that must be added an appreciation for the sensitivity to matters of national security. Now, why it was not quoted, I don't know. Is it to score political points or what? But I think let's look at that policy and let's recognize that as we look at the role of a public prosecutor, one should recognize that the position that he or she occupies is a very challenging, very complex one, in which you have to look at a range of things. Your relationship with the executive, your relationship with power, because the National Constituting Authority, it has to account to power, has to account to the minister. Your relationship with the other office. Can you work as the National Constituting Authority without regard to the kind of relationship that is necessary with the police service?
hugely cognizant of the fact that police work quite differently from prosecuting authorities, that they have up the system that operates with them. Should you recognize the fact that there have been tensions between the police service in the farm and the prosecuting authority, and these tensions tend to persist, and if they are not managed well, then they could constitute a particular threat? Or do you say that in terms of what I'm doing, I'm going to selectively deal with a particular issue without any regard to any other thing? And I think what the Jawala Commission said is saying that look at the metropolis, have due regard to all factors that contribute to the national security, the public interest, and most importantly, do that in a manner that really speaks of integrity and commitment. I know the Honorable Piccoli for a long time, and we are good friends, and I can vouch for his integrity and honesty. I know about the conflict. And he knows what my views are about him, and in fact, quite interestingly, after my appointment, we had the benefit and opportunity of sharing a platform together. He spoke, and I spoke after, without any difficulty. But what that said is I recognized his position, even though he was suspended at the time. But his role and responsibility in any recognized mind, there was no economic representation. Now, if I could bring you a good example, and I choose first again, I was the chief whip of the National Council of Provinces, and personal opinion, I would know that very quite a unique situation. I was the chief whip of the National Council of Provinces, representing the chief, acting as chief whip of the ANC, and acting as chief whip of the National Council of Provinces, where I represented all the provinces and all the political parties. Now, are these two positions incompatible with each other? Or can they be managed in a way sensitive to the fact that political parties have a particular perspective and that one should collaborate without undermining the right of political parties to express their views? And in the 5 years, those of you who have been there, we will say to you that there has never been any challenge in relation to the manner in which we dealt with it. But if our sensitive only to my task as a chief of the African National Congress, and have no regard whatsoever to my responsibility, to my comrades' beliefs on the other side, then it is difficult. So one basically says, in terms of determining my competence, I think the very competent chief was able to look at the legislative process, express these all of you in a particular way, but lacking a particular quality of collaboration and cooperation. Have no regard to the importance, the sensitivity of ensuring that the budget democracy and collaboration involved. Now, if I had all the other policies, attributes of integrity, honesty, ability as a lawyer, and as a politician, but had no regard for another democratic principle of participation in democracy, would I be fit and proper for that position? You have to answer the question. It's not for me to answer. Let me make this opening remark, and I think I'm taking the same advantage as a good actual politician. If you have a member of the opposition, I should press our role to the issues that have been raised. And I say to you again that I speak to you on the premise that I am not giving evidence on behalf of the president, nor am I representing the president. I'm making myself available as an instance of the chair and the committee to say, you put the question to me, I provide you with the perspective. At the end, it is not my view, it is your view. And I think that is central to what we have said. We cannot be selective and say that the Jawala Commission makes a recommendation or a finding. Let us accept that particular finding and ignore the other findings. Let me meet you from the very same commission that you come from. And for that which you should be denied, there are things on page 14 of our statement with my memory. Correct? Yeah. But if I could say, from this mission, I would be able to, if I go along first after the reference is responded, to say that one of the limitations that she found, being at the head of the commission, and Mr. Fundamental, is not a commission of requirement, nor is it a disciplinary requirement. And this is quite unique, and this one is indeed correct. What we have here is an inquiry, what is intended, which is independent of the person, it's not an internal inquiry, where the inquiry would provide a report and find the president. And on the basis of that report, the president would be able to make a recommendation in relation to the National Director of Public Prosecution. That is not a final. So that means that these other recommendations and any recommendations that he might have received as president from Mr. Piccoli or his representatives and submit and table that to Parliament. It is therefore Parliament to invite Mr. Piccoli as a collective to provide to make representations to responsible issues, and then it is for Parliament to decide. The president does not decide to tackle this. I think what we have learned from this is that what Austria has done, and that's a personal view, is that an inquiry should have been done, an inquiry as PMQ2IRY, it doesn't describe the nature of inquiry, can you elaborate on the nature of inquiry? Where finding something provides to the president, that the president on the basis of facts, not recommendations, makes the recommendations possible. It is my that the recommendation comes from the president, the decision comes from Parliament. And the difficulty in the anomaly of behavior here is there are many recommendations. And the difficulty here when you argue from this side, from that side, from this side, is those that are on this side will say, well, let's look at the evidence findings. And those that are on the other side will say, let's look at the patient findings. And I think all of you are lawyers can imagine that you cannot argue present when you receive such a report containing findings to look selectively at portions of the factual findings and ignore the others. He has to look at it in the context of whether, on the basis of the report, on the basis of the contested, of uncontested evidence, the decision or his decision to make recommendations is indeed a correct one.
Before you proceed,
I don't want to disturb you, but in terms of our joint committee, we are actually considering a decision that the president has made. The president has made a decision to dismiss Advocate Report. So Parliament's deliberation is to take a decision on the decision. So my very decision of our own. So as we can endorse or reject what
the president has first contextualize, and that's the difficulty of language. What I'm saying is that the recommendation is based on the decision of the president.
Okay.
The president made the decision, you are what to reinstate the National Director of Public Prosecutors, or do I feel that he is not a present problem? That decision is communicated to Parliament as a recommendation. Because that is not the final decision. Parliament then makes the decision. So if Parliament decides the president is wrong, before it comes back, if Parliament supports the rationale and reasons for that decision, which is from the basis of the recommendation, it should decide appropriately. So I thought I should contextualize that. So my argument, and if I get it from Dr. Gelford, is that if I mean, the view that I express now, and the view I express on the basis of what I'm reading in the general report, on the basis of what the president himself has communicated, on the basis of the fact that there may well be a finding in terms of the honesty and integrity of Advocate Piccoli, I said, and I think the president himself has indicated that there is absolutely no but that should not be the only basis on which a president has to reflect. Because there is nothing that says to the president, you are bound by the terms of reference. It might well be that Zimbabwe had basically looked at the terms of reference and felt that in terms of her responsibility, she cannot go beyond it and express it. Because what she said very, very clearly in the report, she said if at all certain issues in the relation to security form the basis of the terms of reference, she would have had no hesitation in recommending that the, or finding that the National Director of Public Prosecution was not in the problem. Now that comes from the Dinoir report.
hold it potential, I will do so. It means that if that is her view, can the president then say, I disregard a strong view of an independent entity that has looked at all the evidence, with regard to measures of security, with regard to issues of sensitivity, with regard to issues of collaboration. Because it didn't form the basis of the terms of practice. What I would say, if I can be effective, that there was a responsibility of government, on the part of government, that when it framed its name of the terms of practice, it should have done so more meetings. Indeed, that is mine. So, I would argue that part of the problem of the defense right now is that the terms of practice were rather too narrow, and indeed was interpreted in a particular way by the Dinwiddie Commission to suggest that it cannot go beyond this. It could be argued both. It could be argued by Dinwiddie. Look, it's not her business to determine whether the person is fit and proper by going beyond the specific limitations. However, she might argue that there is nothing preventing the president from looking at the entire lines of fact and making an appropriate decision in this regard. So, I want to say to you, Dr. Dalbert, in nutshell, it is really that you cannot vote selectively at the report, or vote selectively from the report for this meeting. And I would ask that issues of public interest, issues of national security, issues of collaboration, are critical in terms of the office that you occupy as the National Director of Public Prosecution. I say so also in the context of the fact that I recognize now, as a Minister of Justice, how critical and important it is for there to be the necessary synergy between the National Director of Public Prosecution and the Minister of Justice. A synergy which is not intended to undermine the authority, to take away the discretion, because that discretion must rest permanently in the National Director of Public Prosecution. To basically prosecute or decline to prosecute or to adopt. That is a decision that rests entirely. So that is the nature of the analysis. But for me to say or to suggest that there should be no conversation between, in fact, a dynamic, sustained conversation between the director of national prosecution, to whom all the prosecutors beneath our counsel and the Minister of Justice will be accepted. In the context of our constitutional framework, which clearly speaks to a particular kind of group. So I think one thing basically suggests that, you might find that appropriate one. The appropriate one of the context of our constitutional dispensation is this. And what then basically happens is you have three factors. The constitutional factor who says collaborate and cooperate, recognize the work and take care of others. And then you have the other factor who says act without fear they will prejudice. And the one should not undermine that. And I say, how to manage that kind of relationship would ultimately determine the nature of that relationship. How does the relationship go to the trust?
Judge Adams said, in fact,
is doing impeachment of matters of political appointment are much more significant. So thank you very much, Mr. Panamera. So I'm saying that there is, in my opinion, not a constitution. So there is reference to the letter, and I am not a spokesperson for the former Minister of Justice. What I can say is that the content of that particular letter was taken into account, and in fact, it's unfortunate for you, because it certainly does lend itself to interpretation. It does then start to interpretation of the theories. But if my memory serves me correctly, having read the Dinwiddie Commission, she says that it is clear that neither the president nor the former minister at any point in time suggested or acted in any manner to prevent the National Director of Public Prosecution from prosecuting said. The issue at the heart of it was basically, how do you go about how to execute that decision? Then it's brought out by the fact that indeed, even in the tenure of the former president, James Sedeli was indeed prosecuted after the. And in fact, the problems I call it Buddha because it's first made because the perfection can be known for such a long time. Our problems that we confront right now. We confront such problems right now. And it's a question of how you reflect a situation. And let me give you an example. A week ago, 2 weeks ago, I was approached by a man. In a normal course, the context of a report written to the sentence. And the judge was saying, what was 7205 subpoenas issued? And they would like to work with the judge. And they wanted my support to serve. How do they want my support? I speak to my colleague. In order for safety and security. Now, I could have done one of two things. I could have said, listen, gentlemen, I can't, that's not my business. You are the prosecuting authority. You don't do what you have. It's not my job, I'm not an asset. Or I can say, listen, I will speak to him, but if I do so, please, don't let this be intended. The advice I gave to them, and indeed I can now advise, in fact, the very same day, because I spoke to my colleague, to say, we want this kind of collaboration, because it's important that service occurs as soon as possible. However, I have indicated to the National Director of Public Prosecution that in doing so, they are not prevented from serving those Section 205 cases. Now, what is the media report? The media report that they got is all ahead from the Minister of Justice. How is it not prevented from going ahead? They issued the subpoenas on their own, they don't need my phone. How is it not prevented from doing so? It was corrected, and I don't think they made an impression to know it was solely from the media. But what I'm saying is a reflection of a particular statement of a particular party should be done. My is that the former Minister of Justice, indeed, that comes from the evidence in the demand for promises, for the effect. There was no resistance to the Constitution. I would be very upset if indeed there was no resistance to the Constitution, where the Constitution decided to prosecute. It's a question of how you manage that particular process. And I think that is where the difficulty there is in part of. Now, the view has been canvassed by the demand commission. She makes the comments. Attribute some responsibility to the DG in my offices in terms of the drafting, but it's really from the existing case. Not that any other words that we use can be made interpreted in different ways, but the conclusion that she comes to is that this does not amount to any interference. My view is that the manner in which that particular effect, the small part of it, has been risen is quite unfortunate, because it can indeed convey a wrong impression. But certainly it is not consistent with the intention based on the conduct and the relationship between Mr. Kikoli and the former Minister of Justice and the realities inform that truth there. Now with regard to sufficiently dealt with the matter that you have raised.
Would you ask that written letter?
I cannot speak because I'm not on a personal life matter.
Yeah, no,
what I
can take
is
the Minister of Culture dialogue
with
through the chair. Yeah, through the chair. Yeah, through
the chair. Yeah, through the chair. You are absolutely correct. Okay. More than anyone else. Thank you very much for drawing my attention to that. I think in general terms, I think the lessons that we learned from these are facts that will occur. So that's going to be a whole country. Even for Martin, Mr. Fundamental. It's the fact that our communications must be very clear. Because if they're not clear enough, they could create a problem from where I sit, and I say, I don't speak on behalf of the former minister, but I certainly know as a person who certainly has absolutely no intention or will and bring up for the period of time to basically prevent or interfere in the prosecution. And then there is the genesis in that. Because one must look at the fact that she received the letter from the president then requested information because he is making decisions. That is receiving allegations. At that point in fact, it's allegations and information that he received both from the National Director of Public Prosecution as well as from the Ministry of Justice before about the National Commission of Police. He must make a decision as to how it's going to manage it. The evidence is uncontested in the Demand Report is indeed he did what is necessary to facilitate the access to documents, and whatever else is necessary. And indeed, given this particular topic, she seeks this information. She responds, or she demands that particular information in order to respond appropriately to the prison. However, if you look at the letter, it's one small portion right at the end of the third last paragraph, which is a thing that is quite unfortunate language, which basically commits to this wrong question. That is my view. If you ask me if I was, like you signed, you know, as a minister, we signed hundreds of letters. And we tried every single one, but some of which is dictated by the person. Can I give a good example? In fact, in the topic of the study, here we see the advocate from the prisons. A letter was written because there is a discussion around the study. I communicated to the presidency, in fact, our conversation about it. It's not necessary for anybody to give evidence on the part of the president. A letter was written to the very committee, in error, suggesting that I'm a representative of. The advocate here is going to be represented and conveyed to the committee that I'm representing the president and in fact reported. I'm just giving an example of communication to be practiced. In fact, adversity has been a burden. They're also refusing. Now, I know there's absolutely no question about my good work, my parables, and everything else. I'm just saying the errors of communication could result in such huge misunderstanding.
No, presidents to be a minister. So, but in the letter, it was very
clear. I'm just using this as an example. To say the advocate that she was counseling, if you ask her that she was only in what she did for the advocate. And what came out as a result of Trump reporting for that. With regard to Syria, some of the Syria matters out there, I think one can't escape the reality.
Mr. Jimenez,
oh, yes. Sorry, we have a piece of the reason for this is that I'm not confined to the general practice. That's my view. And I'm not the president and the
support. There's a lot of between faith and.
The president has.
Can you concentrate on the minister answer? Because I'm going to ask the same questions.
You see, when you unleash a chair, to a committee who is not checked, that is the result checked. But we have to be a committee who is checked for so long, and he was compelled to listen to the chairperson. And now we have the opportunity to debate and discuss why the chair is busy. Chairperson, with regard to the I certainly hold the view that certainly the president has a report with factual findings. Has to reflect on the entirety of the report and make an appropriate decision. But he's not bound to a particular finding, but indeed must reflect on his thinking and action and make the appropriate decision. With regard to other considerations, including the issue of national security, which Charlie will deal with in great detail, it is my view that when you talk about the competency of the person and whether he or she is fit and proper, you have to take it in context. For example, you can't say that the attributes of a judicial officer would be identical to the attributes of a national director of public prosecution. Yet it stands to the constitution because it's the same thing. It's the fundamental way to tell you how we really go through this constitutional process in terms of our interviews. The commission to ensure that the person has the appropriate competency, the temper, the ability, the skills in a particular context. One certainly would want, in fact, if you look at the latest Supreme Court current judgment itself, speak about what the expectations of the judge. And even that is a kind of substitute. So one says to us, mind again, the judge's mind has to be in the policy change. And reflect on things which is not their business. If you would like to find it in this case here, given the fact that you know that the National Public Prosecuting Authority, that intelligence is not their responsibility. And you now get involved in gathering intelligence, and you don't communicate the importance of that intelligence to the authority. It might not be, certainly not the bank again, but it is responsible. And it might be inconsistent with the role of the National Public Prosecution. You might want to ask them, and I say this with the greatest of respect to my friend, for if you might think that it's less important to go to a national security key point area with a kind security that's not there, than ensuring that you are able to execute one in time. Now, in the judgments, would you wait? Would you make sure that the appropriate clearance is taken, given the fact that we all should recognize that the warrant that is served on a private individual at home is easy to get. But the moment you want to serve on the honorable teacher or the honorable first on the left, you cannot do so without the warrant to speak. So the public representatives have a standard that is higher than that of the honorable third. What kind of standard do you have for the president of the country or the office of the president of the country? Now, if you are a national director of public prosecution, and you cannot make a distinction, and you do not admit that it's an oversight on your part, and you reluctantly believe that what I said and what I've done is indeed correct, then it might be a problem. Because I will be correct. I am going to serve as a minister. I am going to arrive without being doubt. And I have to serve already. And it might well be wrong to my case. But if I refuse to accept or correct myself in terms of the right information, am I asked to government in the people of the Republic, or am I correct? Because I will insist that security, methods of national security, are less important. That the execution of a principle is more critical. The principle involves also the principles of national security, the principles of democracy, the principles of stability, the principles of sensitivity. What about principles? So all in itself doesn't become the lodestar by which we are to make. It means how alive am I to the entire environment. And then that is, so I say to you that indeed my statement is part of my view. I'm not expressing any other view than my personal view because it's been solicited. So let's see how I feel, what you do, and I don't believe that in the context, and I don't see from the answer of questions, that assuming a lesson is sent to, recommendations are made, a decision is taken by the president in terms of the recommendations. In fact, the full name is, he says, these are the findings by the duality. Can you reflect? Could you respond? And he says, yes, I'm exonerated for one, yes, I'm exonerated for two. No, wouldn't it be more wholesome if you basically give the election integrity to the process to say, what are the designations about who you for? I recognize that there is something that I could correct in terms of how I'm going to do this. Wouldn't that be a much more dignified and responsible way in which a head of the prosecuting authority might carry out its task? In as much as politicians might abuse their power, there is always the risk that prosecuting authorities can do so. And for that reason, there is a safeguard. The checks and balances are not only in terms of prosecuting authorities and the creating counties to come, but also counties to ministers, the Minister of Justice, with a particular opportunity to ensure that they can take care of themselves without the checks and balances. And as you say, a cost to the minister, do not let the minister do not interfere in the position of MTA. And shortly after my appointment, I went to the prosecutors in their office, in the heart of the prosecuting office, and I spoke to the fire prosecutors. And I said to you, I'm going to get under pressure. I am not going to seek permission to speak. I'm the Minister of Justice. But if I would come to any prosecutor and try to influence him or her in his decision, please speak to the world, because I am leaving my heart. So I need to carry out my responsibility, and I should carry out my responsibility in terms of justice, quite unashamedly. But at the same time, I must ensure that the integrity of the office of the National Public Prosecutor is not disturbed. That is fine. And I do believe that that means that it's a question of management. What Parliament might want to do is to state that final responsibility is not defined in the legislation. I must speak about that it will find. This is something that Parliament would want to do, so that we indeed give effect to the intentions of the legislature in terms of how they interpret the relationship and the responsibility. Now, why would there be, for example, the issue of final responsibility? You know, let's say, why is final responsibility about? But the same members who are here, all of you know that if you have a problem with the DSO or the SIU in the Constitutional Authority, you always want to do this in this power. To whom that question goes? It goes to the Minister of Justice. Who does the Minister of Justice get the answer? The National Prosecuting Authority, and through the NPC. And if that information doesn't come, through the Department, then the Minister of Justice is being said, you are not cooperating with whatever they come, you are not acting in an accountability responsibility. So accountability and responsibility are the job. One by one. So that shouldn't be reflected on that rule that every parliamentary committee is abused in terms of how it should be done. That you might also want to look at the fact that how we deal with inquiries to meet inquiries to sort them out. Have we dealt with it in the best possible way in terms of the one single instance of investigations? Because, I mean, that clarification really, and that is the role of Parliament to say, if there are weaknesses and deficiencies in short term, what do you need to do? And I believe that is the context that we should look at very, very carefully. I'm going to proceed to the issue and start buying the issue now.
Then I will to proceed to the short chat that Reverend Gitani is patiently waiting.
With regard to the issues of security and health, I agree with you. In fact, before you raise it, we agree. I do believe that is one reason why the legislature is to ensure that part of the unique defensive requirements and decide that the person is not fit to proper forward payment system. It is part of the legislature to find the decision. So the choice doesn't become exclusively executive or political choice. The decision itself then becomes a legislative decision when Parliament itself reflects on the matter. So I think that is a security candidate, but as I sit here, I cannot anticipate what the outcome is going to be of this decision by the particular election. Irrespective of my views about the President's recommendation to the decision, and that would be the security candidate. However, you might want to say, and indeed you are entitled to say as Parliament, should we look at another mechanism of appointing a national director of the Constitution where you provide opportunities to the president? And the president would be in terms of the appointment of prosecution balance, by the way. It's something that you might want to say, they have a talent to be, do we become a past president and say yes, president, you say no? I'm not saying that I don't think it's a problem of all values in terms of this particular process, but there is nothing to be mentioned, however, in terms of spokesperson. For the people to basically say they are our possibilities because there is no universal uniform standard in terms of the appointment of state attorneys or national directors of public prosecutors. With regard to the warrants itself, I think the reputations persevering whether Chikani would be able to deal with that and I will leave that to him. I go now to Mr. Douglas again. Mr. Douglas, in a scale of two presidents, I don't know who's the president. And if you look at the report of URL, and you look at the Brown's Board report itself, it was not a deal of two presidents. At a time when there was disturbance, there was media talking about tension between presidents, it was central to the conversations that were taking place generally within the public domain, among people, politicians, and people outside the law. Not to suggest that conversation, which was frequently and consistently the media reports about tension, respite, and then the National Director of Public Prosecution received the report, which is a lot of true documents, in relation to this particular matter, reflects on external agencies, now, which have direct impact on international relations, because it's the issue we get from the state of the office, the national
character of the
sorry.
I thought the context of this question was that there are two president ministers.
But what I'm saying is that as we look at the deal of two presidents,
yes,
we should also say that there's another deal of two presidents. There are many, there's a deal of system of two presidents, the former president, the current president,
okay,
that are going to attention to another state. So my statement is a state of three presidents. But either is it made,
okay,
I'm saying that with regards to the labor practice here, we really state everybody, all of us, basically have our rights to the constitution enshrined in this country. If there is an unfair labor practice, we are entitled to challenge it, and I would imagine that this is because we can't everybody out, that is the same argument. So I don't think any decision that's taken by anybody in any context ever gives the rules that right, but the context basically of any relationship between the state and a particular office, the parliament and that particular office would be the particular state that the right of that change in the constitution cannot be achieved in any way. With regard to Mr. Simmons, I see he has good knowledge about all the syndicates that are operating on the continent and worldwide. And but really, I think the wild brains out here, nobody in the army has much opinion about here, state persons. Because nobody asked the army against the decision to process the executive committee. Neither the former president, nor the current president, nor neither the former minister of justice, nor the current minister of justice argued about the first constitution, or saying that we should say it. In fact, the last of the former minister of justice, I would like to see it as a country constitution. You cannot have a situation where you have the active commission of police for such a long time. You cannot have a situation in as much as only having active national data for public constitution, because we want stability in terms of our government. So I'm saying to you that we can afford to be back over here and should we would do whatever is necessary from our side in the context of the level of the government to ensure that we assist the constitution wherever. Where our members have worked under you, please check on how we work together and how we propose our undertakings over there. Whether it's the system, it's another problem, but from our side, as the government and the ministry, I do believe that we've done more. We've gone to overboard to ensure that we assist the prosecution in terms of their task. It is most unfortunate that in a sense one could say that you know we have a person of the ability to have the key and the caliber of opposition policy. But while one has to say the national line up, the national check out consent, publicity, what is our view of that particular office and the attributes that one associates with the office in a particular context. My is that the president getting considered the report which I also read has made the appropriate decision. And what I do like about the report is on more than one occasion emphasize that we have absolutely no doubt about the competency, the integrity, the honesty, and the diligence of Joseph DePoli. I can say to him, while he's sitting out here, look at him straight in the eye, and if you I might have to say to you about him, but I disagree about certain other things. And if that can be effective assistance, that in the manner in which he's done it, is that he believes this is as a consequence of importance in terms of the office that he holds. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, now the court has honors is now with reverence to that.
Chairperson, the committee, the ladies and gentlemen, first before I try to answer the questions. First, as I indicated, the risk here is to repeat the remark before I go back to the information. I took the shuttle to after I was told yesterday afternoon to spend the night reading the report again, just to make sure that there's no repeat of what is in the MR report. And I'm going to try my best not to repeat what is there. Can refer to it, but not to repeat. The second issue I would like to say is the honorable father member. I'm very careful about what I say here. But he calls the doctor, the chair says no, but I don't remember that. Now, I want to settle this because, you see, that media likes things like this. So, the honorable father member is one of those people who offer, if you are offered an honorable degree, the people who confer an honorable degree call you doctor. But I don't call myself doctor. There are people who hold honorable degrees who call themselves doctor. But there are people who call doctor because of the honorable degree. Now they are right to do so. So, Mr. Bunnen, you have a perfect right to do so. But I call myself French. Now, on the issue of Mr. Picori, I must say yesterday, I did say to the people who were talking to me, I don't like coming to talk about this matter because Mr. Picori is a long-standing friend. He's a colleague. You know, the family. You know, we have a relationship with the family. It makes life very difficult. But when you are working environment, you are Director General of Justice, he dealt with the security cluster. You should represent the security cluster in the Forum of Directors General. So that's why this issue is a very painful one to deal with, because it's not something you want to speak and repeat. But let me just say that the events leading to the suspension, I think, were history, had the capacity of being distorted. It's very dependent charge on the written words. Now, the suspension letter says, here are the issues. The terms of reference go further than that, expand it, and they have a sentence at the end that says, and such other matters as may relate to the fitness and propriety of the national director to hold office. So by the time the terms of reference were framed, they covered a broader basis for the inquiry. So the Chinwana inquiry was based on this broader terms of reference. As the minister said, you could have written the terms of reference differently to make them a little bit more clear. But the inquiry chose to then restrict that final decision on the matter of suspension rather than the broader issues. Now, if I have to give you the events leading to the suspension, for me, what created the point at which it became necessary to suspend was around the national security questions. Because that there were many other things. You know, if you look at justice, we have questions of relationships and etc. If you get to the police, there are other reasons. Go to the national intelligence, all of them came in evidence in the NR had different perspectives, views, feelings. The issue about the Browse report, which I handled myself again, the intelligence agencies had very serious comments about those issues. And so, and the DSO had its own perspectives about those matters. But let me just say that my involvement was, which I got involved in, was from the national security questions. Because that, for me, was the critical issue. And findings that have been made, the findings of the Jinwan are based on those national security questions. And I wouldn't want to repeat them because they have been canvassed in the report. The issue about the vetting of officers of the DSO, which is in the legislation, require that they be vetted, were not vetted. I was the person who was appointed after the EFA commission to look at the leaks from the DSO. And in the process, found that many of those officers were not present. And they were then contracting agencies from outside, auditing companies, for instance, where they were really technical, very good people, by the way, to come and help them. But I sat there, talked to the regional director on giving me the list of all the officials at the vessels. And the record was that most of them were not present. And I think it's, for me, that's the critical issue. If you send a team to go and do a section seizure in the key points, security points, Mr. Bikoni did have the courtesy to come to the president, the minister, and the president said, well, talk to the DG. He came to my office, presented me with a letter that informed me that it's a letter of courtesy. I tried to ask questions, but he said it's a letter of courtesy for me to inform you. I was worried about how you enter union buildings and days in the morning without notice, and what the reaction of the police there would be. Now, of course, you could say, no, if you have a warrant, that's sufficient for the legal perspective. But you can't arrive at the Defense Intelligence Headquarters with a warrant and try in there and hope you can raid the place. You're most probably going to say, who are you? You're going to want to know where you come from. The paper may not be sufficient to get you in there because it says international security establishment. And a good example is rocking up at the former Deputy President Zuma's place. There are people there who guard that place. They have to say their job is to secure the former Deputy President. If you come, even the commissioner of police would find it difficult to interfere because that inmate's job is to protect that person. When you come in, they have to make sure why you are here and why you want to do it in a particular way. So I think it's questions of sensitivity and understanding of the risk in terms of national security issues. So, for instance, that those painful last meetings where I attended, I wasn't in the 10, all the 10 meetings, but the meetings from May, June, July, August, September, I attended those meetings. I was with the president. And there was at no point in this typical conference that in the world, at no point did the president ever say, don't investigate this civilian. And don't arrest them, don't charge him. There's no point at which that was said. What was being discussed is how do they get the documents from the crime intelligence headquarters. That was the real issue. And the people in crime intelligence say, we can't give away source files for intelligence. You know, they come and we can't read them. So indeed an arrangement was made, the files were put there, they sat for hours, went through the files, and etc. The problem was, can an intelligence agency have with source files? And then those who know that well, that source files were all sorts of information, much of it is in total wrong. So you can't use a source file as evidence in court. You have to do an investigation. But if I have to part with a source file, is the person I'm giving the source file better? You know what I'm talking about. It's a security question. Is this person better? Is the information not going to end up in the foreign government somewhere else? If it's an intelligence arrangement. So the real issue is about national security. Now, you have this tension between the TSO and the POMS. If you get warrants and go and talk out there, and hope you're going to produce the warrants, I sat there with Mr. Piccoli, second day, Mr. McCarthy was there, and I said, for you to do your work, you need the state to enable you to do your work. So you might be independent, you might have all the rights to execute your job, but you need the state. Because if the police stop you from entering that point, then the state must act against the people who stop you. Now, even the police, then the president may have to command the army to go and make sure that you enter the headquarters of the police. You need the president. The president of the country, not in the sense of president of the executive. You see, this problem about having the state president being head of the executive challenge and the head of the state. You need to differentiate where are you acting as a head of state or you are acting as head of government. And as president, you act as head of state. You've got intelligence reports. The NDP doesn't have those intelligence reports. You know what's happening between the police force. You know what's happening in the army. You know what's happening. You know what's happening with these criminals. The organized crime, which was one of the issues that needed to be looked at. You've got that information. The only person in this country who has all the information and has the right to all the information is the president of the country, nobody else. So the National Director of Prosecution might be proceeding in a particular direction, but the president might have another set of information. So the only person who can make a decision about the security arrangement to arrest an official like that is the president. And the president says, give me 14 days. He knew a breakthrough argument. And the answer was no. We'll give you 7 days. Now, the this argument being made that the president wanted to interfere with the responsibilities of the national director. Now, the national director came with warrants. By the way, they were never presented. They were in a black bag. And he said, yeah, I want to Mr. President. I just want you to be informed. Now, at that point, the commission that they filed, I'm sorry that we keep on sliding to commission. It wasn't the commission, but they were. They filed detailed that letter, so I don't need to go into it. But what the inquiry found there is that the president needed 14 days. He's then told 7 days. The president could have entered into an argument with the national director to say he can't give me 7 days. He would have been accused for interfering with the national director. He's got warrants. You have set up a process to get this information. The next you get, instead of the report about how far have you gone with this issue, you get warrants. So when you get warrants, of course the national director has got the perfect legal right to get warrants. President can't say, you shouldn't have them. And so once that was done, and you are told that you have 7 days, president wanted to go through a process of preparing for any execution of those types of warrants. We did it with the acting director. I was involved in it. We set up the meetings. We talked with the relevant ministers. We talked with the National Security Council. We made sure we convened a meeting with the top command of the police force to go ahead and inform them about this. And the military submitted a letter of to apply for leave for absence so that he can allow this investigation to happen. At that point, once he has given the president the letter, the Almighty's touch on us all, we preach them about it. To say, this is why, secondly, who is going to be acting commission? Because there are all sorts of things that flow out of that. You can't let the environment and go and have a national commissioner. We have making preparations for it. I think that, to me, is the critical issue. And I have a feeling that maybe the national director was under other pressures that made him not to see the risk at that point. And you will remember, in terms of the report of the inquiry, it took another 7 days of interaction before the suspension was effected. And when it became clear that the risk was there, that the warrants would be instituted to one of the nights, they would not have the intelligence center there, and create a major crisis for the country, the suspension was effected. And from there on, the process was managed properly to make sure that the matter is resolved. And indeed, Mr. Sibley was charged, and they are following all sorts of the processes they need to follow. I just want to put it quite clearly that this, there was a great risk at that point of something extraordinary happening that we destabilize the country. And it is the responsibility of the president to make sure the country is not destabilized. Now, the president may not stand publicly there and tell you the details about who have done this and the other in terms of his intelligence information, because that's not how you run the country. The president knew what the issues are. It is incorrect, in fact, wrong to say the president abused power. There was no abuse of power. I saw also a report this morning who say, and I tried to check, I haven't let the city go down the check for him. But I can't see how the media says the president gave people an instruction he couldn't carry out because it was unlawful. That's how the media reports it.
I think it was from the instruction to resign. That's not correct. My brother told me well yesterday.
There was no instruction to resign. I think he was requested to consider. It was not an instruction, so there's no way the president could instruct somebody to resign. I mean, what law says you instruct somebody to resign? A person either chooses to resign or you dismiss. You can't instruct a person. Anyway, I just wanted to clarify this matter. I said through those processes, the president was very careful. He is the custodian of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. He has to make sure that everything follows the letter of the law. And I expect that he would never participate in anything that violates the Constitution or the law. It doesn't matter who asks me to do it. I will not do that. And so we make sure we follow the process. At the point where Mr. Kikoli says, you know, I give you this time, or I can't do this and the other, the president then had to call a normal legal process. Minister, get me the information. Because if the inquiry report says, Mr. Kikoli had various options that the president could have taken. One of them would be to suspend the commissioner so that when they arrest him, he would not be, and I hope I'm quoting it correctly. But for the president to suspend anybody, you would need information. You can't hear that French guy is about to be arrested and you suspend French guy so that he's arrested when he's not teaching the president. You're going to ask the question. What is the basis of the arrest so that I can take the appropriate action? Because you don't want to break the law. You can't suspend people on GSA. You need information that assists you. So the request to the minister about that, at least to me so that I can make the decisions that I need to make. And so I thought it's important to clarify these issues. And as I'm saying, I do it, it's a painful thing to do because Mr. Chikot is a conference. But the point is that at that point, there was something wrong about discretion. There was something wrong about, there was an indiscretion of the implications. It means what was looking at it from the National Director of Prostitution and Money Act, but was not looking at the national implications of what one was going to do at the national level. I really would say that it is completely wrong to say there was any abuse of power. There was no abuse of power. Mr. Bikoli was never stopped from arresting anybody. In fact, this story about Indonesia, that Mr. Bikoli was suspended because they wanted to stop him from arresting Mr. Levy. I was there. The president never did anything to stop Mr. Bikoli from arresting Mr. Levy. What we're talking about is if you have evidence, let them set up the process as to how you go about it so they don't destabilize the state. That's really the issue. So the issue was about the way you do it rather than whether or not you can do it. And I kept on making this thing clear because given the letter of the minister, you can see that it is an argument about please give me information so I can do certain things. And I think the formulation, as you say, was unfortunate. The formulation should have said, please, I mean, don't use the violence until we get this information so we can do the preparations. If you want to understand what they were in the process, in the thinking of people, it's more about, please don't implement before we prepare, but to prepare with information. That was because people to the police command, you must say that this is the story and you need to know what you are talking about. And then you can say, please release this information or that information. I thought Chair Vittorio was important to do that. Who was Mr. Bikoli, not given the possibility or opportunity to make a presentation. I'm hearing it for the first time because I thought we followed all the processes, made submissions to the inquiry many times, did representation in the inquiry, and after that, the president wrote a letter to the lawyers and said, this is what Giovanna is saying. Can you respond to that before I make a decision so that I can be informed by your response? And indeed, there was a fake document to canvas all those issues. And on that basis, the inquiry, the basis of what the response was, President Bates' determination. I'm not aware of any stage where he would have been not given an opportunity to make the representation in any way. I've avoided Chair dealing with issues of the ANC because I can't come here as DG and deal with issues. So thank you very much for your protection. The ANC officials are here and can deal with the matter. I would like to stop at that because I don't have to go into the details about Section 6 in the Union buildings, and it's in the inquiry and the findings chair. The only thing I want to say, because technology can be a problem, because I saw the statement that says there is no indication that there was compromise of information in the process. Now, if you get experts who do mirror the level of the computer, once they arrive there, they are in place, anything can happen in terms of how it can
people are you trying to protect yourself, you have to remember that other countries are going to help for free and for friends to beat your sisters. So I would not allow anyone who's not vetted to come close to the computer. And those people access the computers. They may have tablets on their computer, your text is in the safe, but you don't know what they have. So it is and then I'm told that the IT people were there. There was a big war on that matter. National intelligence was unhappy about it. So there wasn't just a smooth process of doing it. And so I'm not going to go into those details, but I have the responsibility to deal with the integrity of information in the state. I have the responsibility to make sure that classified documents are taken care of. If I don't exercise my responsibility, I will appear in your committee one of these days to account why I failed to make sure that security is. And maybe I should just say, Chair, that the call I made to Mr. Pico, the morning when people were coming to search, was just to make sure. I assume that the director will make sure that people who are sent to search the office of the president are vetted. I will not send people to the office of the president as a senior official of government without making sure that people who can help are vetted. When I called him, he didn't know who was going there because it was commanded by the regional director. I understand that. But I mean, if I had to make a decision that any office that I'm in charge of is going to aid the office of the president, I would want to know who's going to go there. And I think that's it. Can I make sure that the security of the state is in place? That's what I'll do. You can't say, I don't know. And then I'm asked, but you should have solved that problem with Mr. Mann. And I say, no, it's not my job. The national director is on a team. They employ the leader president. They must make sure. I was asking the person because I have a responsibility. Have you made sure that the people who go there are veterans? And that's the question. And so it is possible that you are looking at the legal issues and could not at the moment see the risks in terms of security, which is unfortunate. And I must say, painful, that that's where we are today.
Thank you very much, President. While I'm taking the next stage of speakers, members, can you be reminded that we are agreeing that today would lead you in the afternoon? So please note that.
What about the
afternoon? So we'll continue to have this afternoon. After the following people are going to speak, the first one will be Honorable Kanisha, followed by Confella, Honorable Kirin, Honorable Karim, Honorable Belfort, Honorable Swart, the name of
My question.
questions, very few that directors and parents of Kachikani. And unfortunately, all of these are wishing this to the house. He indicated his frustration of having gone further after the wise and serious level of operation from the Saturday CPS. And you were tasked to assist to try and foster cooperation between the GSO and the SAPS. What do you think was causing this lack of cooperation? And as a facilitator, what did you do to facilitate the resolution of this problem? The other question is on the task board. It's also by the text to Dr. Sivani. He prepared to take any action against Advocate McCarthy for his role in the Dallas Board in terms of the NPA Act. If yes, what action was taken? If no, why no action was taken against Advocate McCarthy? He also made reference to something about vetting. Our understanding from the side of the NPA, when the NPA came before the Committee on Justice and Constitutional Development, is that vetting is supposed to be done by the Ministry of Intelligence Agency. And from their side, to see that they submitted everything to the NIA, and NIA has come to them. Can you share some nice comments? Thank you.
Thank you, that's Honorable Alicia, for these reference. Before I open my general compare that, I want to clarify one issue. Honorable Simon Solacy, not his son. He directed some questions to a lot of his people, unfortunately, because there was no say yesterday. That question was asked and responded to yesterday, so a lot of people did not have the people who asked to respond to that question. She didn't put the right address. Can I now call upon Honorable Compel?
The famous preaching that if God is on our side, who is against us? That was the preaching. You are right. I just want to get clarity. On the
whatever, isn't it better to be on our side?
The issues of whether she can be hospitalized. The chairman, the question that I want to get is the one that is asked by the chief. On the issue of the subject. Reverend Chikandi was a clear statement yesterday, which has caused a lot of discontent and concern to ourselves that the issue of SARS to resist and not to cooperate is because SARS is highly involved in criminal activities. That is why it's not difficult for the FDA to execute its way to lead this country of this called crime. And we do this, you know, in the presence of it, that the rampant crime and the improvement of the eradication of that crime is stopped by the substance in this country. Do you have that conclusion with a very good idea of such activities in their way? The other thing that I want to ask again on the matter of vetting. Why, in my view, I want you to pardon me, General Fulisov, why is there a selective way of looking on issues of vetting? We were informed yesterday that the issue of vetting generally, it's not an issue. You take any other company and then you go there and then you do the work. And then why necessary? Because even those agencies that are dealing with this matter have private companies that they are hiring in doing this way. Why is it a question of concern when the FDA is doing just like other agencies that are doing to speed up and make way to be done quick. Why is the matter that now, according to the threat to the state security and all, is it not a threat to other securities when it is done by other companies? And who are the same as the NBA that are not facing any personal attacks? If other than the Russian attacks, the hero is, because anyone just comes with a vicious plan, and there is a normal thing, then it is normal thing to be the expression of the the last thing. The chance of brethren and brethren, that is your chance to be wrong. The Phenomena Commission or Inquiry, in what they have given to us,
the Father
President. What has been given to us, brethren, the sense of brethren? The other part is not what you did here. And clearly, have you not come with that other part? All people share a certain view around moving away from real sense of brethren, which are a pointed issue. The other part is that you say, in any other matter, that has been what has been concerned in the house, and therefore, I think that it is beginning to clear our understanding and make it clear. That is the last 3 weeks has deliberately been omitted. I don't know on what basis, but I may not comment on that. But I'm just raising that, that we were not aware of the last 3 segments where that I'm talking about any other 3 segments. We were just confined it, checked it, captured, and then we don't know what else we can post. Because it was not really consistent in anything. So it's just not being omitted. Thank you very much.
Again, for this reference, that was the one of the can I now put my level of the
debate? I have actually 2 questions. One to follow up to the Minister of Justice. The first is that the inquiry says that the letter amounts to interference. Yes, Mr. Minister. Now, I think I also have to make a declaration here to David Jefferson. Because fortunately, we have got a limit in our law to deal with any allegations of possible interference. And it always says, if there's a dispute about the interpretation of the law, then you take it to the courts to make a judgment. What I've done was to lay a charge, a criminal charge, against the case Minister of Justice in terms of Section 32.1b, which is a criminal offense. So that matter will come before our court for final interpretation. But what I'm worried about now is that the NPA has to make a decision whether to prosecute or not. If at that stage there will be some consultation with the Minister of Justice whether they should prosecute or proceed with the prosecution against the ex-Minister of Justice. And you've made your view very clearly today that you don't think it was interference or it was not mentioned interference. Is there any assurance that, you know, if the acting director decides to proceed with the prosecution, that the Minister will not interfere? If I would really like to see that we deeply understand our democracy and that we also evolve legal precedents, because it's a legal precedent, whether in fact there was a criminal offense by the previous Minister of Justice, that would be the next judge. Now, yes, she did say that it was not an intention, but and that the DG actually wrote the letter, he contributed to the letter she signed. And that's really what I would like to see cases. And I would like to see any interference from the new Minister of Justice, who will take the old Minister of Justice.
Yes,
that is the one point that I want to raise. And I think also that we need to be careful in not giving your opinion so openly to protect or on some of these matters as Minister of Justice, like title of course the pre-pension. The second one that I want to raise is the what was said by advocate to now to Reverend Frank's family. What Africa supported yesterday, the whole issue of the 1 week and 2 weeks, what is really an issue in the beginning? But that when he raised this in the inquiry, the legal representative, Africa FT work, she disputed that in fact that Africa Leadership Authority raised this with the president. Now, what is legal representative must be an issue wasn't raised by me. Because we need to clear up this area of 7 days and 1 week and 2 weeks and all of that. And also in the, according to Advocate McCauley yesterday, in the inquiry, Dr. Zawar accepted his side of the story. That, you know, he was out of the president. Advocate McCauley also said yesterday that in the meeting with the president and yourself, ex-president already, it was agreed that the National Security Council be convened by itself. And according to Advocate McCauley, that he was never invited to such a meeting, or but what I want to find that he should convene the meeting of the National Security Council. Because that is the real, that is the real institution that had to respond to whether there was a threat to national security. I think the interpretation that everybody says national security is just a small street. I think they should use our state institutions to say to us the national security wants to say. Because they don't assume the national security was a threat when Mr. McCauley decided to execute the Rwandan. What kind of implications are you talking about here? I mean, was the country going to go to war? You know, what is the threat? How do we know the threat to national security? I'm even certain that we all understand and to define national security on the same way. Make any serious one Africa before you have done wrong affecting national security. I'm trying to understand because we're all living, because we don't deal with these institutions on a daily basis. What was such a serious evidence about the state of national security? And then just link to that one too of national security. Everett reported yesterday also said that
you'll come back.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was thinking about Yusuf Karim's question about the ethical relationship in the judgment, but I'll leave that for later.
Thank you very much, you're coming. Can I follow up on Honourable Karen?
You see, there's elements of answers coming out from the request of the creditor. Now, getting in my own way to write a report, one needs to get slightly more precise answers. In that regard, I think one of the things that's very clear, it would be substantially inadequate to purely consider the case of the current national director without drawing the essence out of the decisions, so we never again in one posting position. And in the context of the veto lessons and the interim reports, and the lessons might well be legislative amendments, but this is the minister said that parties go again offering no views to what they were in respect of that. I ask the following question. One, if the topic is clear, it doesn't mean that if a person, in my perspective, if a person is found not guilty of an accusation, that person is necessarily innocent. Why do you say that? The question I was going to ask you, if the government has such a compelling case against the Muslim cause, what is the response to the view that the Zimbabwe inquiry would have come to that conclusion? The subject of my testimony relates to the fact that, for me at least, tentatively, one is obviously open to persuasion. The case that I'm going to present today is, in my view, far more compelling than what appears in the Zimbabwe report. So, that's the first. Secondly, I'm going to address this. It's interesting that there are two interpretations that I'd like to representative of the respond if they can. The one is to say that the way the terms of reference to that might have restrained the Chimwala inquiry from coming to the conclusion that the national barrage should be set. Well, the other interpretation that came across yesterday, and in the submission seems to be from the Kodisai to the president's request for a reply, is that actually Chimwala excluded terms of reference, and they offer the view that many of the conclusions are speculative. That's the two answers that they did one of the five. But thirdly, on the issue of equality policy, we're obliged to take into account what Patricia Dunn has raised, which is perhaps the Minister of Justice should more appropriately answer this to help us. If you look at the NPA, there are four conditions under which you can make a minister. The national barrage zone. Why are they responsible for you that the legislation is not clear enough about the role of national security plays in deciding either the capacity of the national barrage to produce a role or whether he or she is fit and proper? And yes, we got a little bit of justice from the colonies about what we might do if not now, sometime later. To make that clear, because it seems to me that obviously when the president decided to appoint Advocate Tikoli, he must have taken into account security considerations. And presumably, therefore, there's a sense in which a few years later he discovered that maybe the choice he made wasn't appropriate, that the government has the implication on the growth. This brings to a further question. I want to ask the Minister of Justice quite more appropriately. If this is not something, and that's the limit of this committee to our power line, because we might want to raise this just as a point. Is it not something anomalous or odd that the president decides who the national director is going to be, but it's parliament that ultimately decides whether that national director should go? Should there not therefore be a role when the president appoints the national director for parliament in the first place? Because we have no sense of who he appoints, or she appoints, the person is female. But then, we have to say of whether the person should go. So, with the Minister of Justice, what's the comment on that? And I think that's when partly a problem arises about the role of parliament, over that role. And the reason for this is, something that I can't say, but clearly the Minister of Justice might be more appropriate to answer, that's what's best for the two gentlemen's historical work. It's about what is the relationship between has the inquiry of this source, which is not a commission, and his findings, and the decision of the president. In other words, what is the conventional norm elsewhere in Parliament, or other democracies? I mean, to what extent can a president have this inquiry set up, and then it comes to a specific finding that the national balance should be reinstated, but the president decides, taking into account aspects of, or the report as a whole, as the Minister of Justice said, that no, the ultimate finding doesn't correspond necessarily with the full content, and therefore I'm going to choose to dispose, or remove, sorry, a person who the inquiry has found doesn't have to be removed. And again, very interestingly, to what extent in other democracies, you have a president in this context, in this similar context, to about extra factors beyond an inquiry. And it seems to me reasonable for a president to do that, because an inquiry involves a whole lot of observations which the presidency then applies by the president, a whole lot of other considerations relative to what we have in the report. Yesterday, this is a question perhaps more close to the address, but it's not easy. Yesterday, when he put to the address for him, he said to him, but you know that Jamala is probably found to you. That's the process of the Senate office, but he did say, they learned it before us, that the president and all the people that the country is something right ahead. It was about protest questions. His reply was that, we put it to him that in effect, Jinwala found that there is no evidence that either the president or the minister or any government representative interfered in the issue of whether he should proceed to prosecute Commissioner today. The issue was about the process, how he did it. Now, his reply was, well, he didn't find that compelling. He didn't find that convincing. And his reply was, well, explain to me then, I mean, it's not the way he said it, but rhetorically his point was, explain to me then why were the warrants cancelled. And he said, out what he saw in the media. And that's his social media reply, because the reason is that, okay, that then the DC of justice went and I almost used my words to tell you that I called the magistrate of the community and said, forego this warrant, which of course, you know, based on the legal parameters within which she operates. So we must require why the warrant cancelled, when they done in a legally sound way, and he also said, the first time I'm presenting to the panelists, but there's no question to you, if you want to share something to share. Finally, the question is, now I know some people might say it's a leading question, it's only expensive, but the truth is, when I first on Saturday night read Adam's choice of class, the president requested the positive rather than ever finding, it struck me that Adam's choice of class made almost no confession in the president's class. Yes, maybe terrorism judgment or even safety. Now, it's very possible that you can turn out to find anything wrong. I was convinced to him yesterday, he said, look, there's a matter of judgment, I accept of human and so on. But in the written reply, there's almost no conversation, almost as if he's walking on concerns of flaws. Because my input to him yesterday is, of course, in the number of things you can respond to understand. But I don't know if it's a great question to come ahead. But essentially, if he was more prepared to concede that he had made some mistakes, that he wants his security, is it possible that the president might have come to a different conclusion? But it's not a question that he's fair to ask, because you're being asked to look into the mind of the president, and maybe it's asking too much, but it's at least an important question, and a useful question maybe to ask. And finally, surely, if a minister of justice interferes in a specific case, the court must decide on that, and punish him as well as I go, and all the ministers of the court of state, you know he was not allowed to do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. I'm not going to have
Honourable Chair, I am totally at a loss to understand something. And that was caused by the very, very clear evidence by the DG in Chicago. I really appreciate this very, very clear evidence of the shell of the last days before the suspension. It was very clear what the cause was. We know that the presidency had known for months about the investigation against the incident. And he says the crucial thing was, and that touched on national security, that warrants had been obtained, and that the president asked for 2 weeks to prepare the environment, and Gregory was only prepared throughout the week. That, he says, was the calling. It's not about the prosecution of Gregory. It's not about the arrest itself, but about the process and the time that they would need. Now, what is totally incomprehensible, what does not even make sense, is the letter that I suppose the Reverend maybe drafted, or from the other people in the office, but it went out in the name of the president, was a letter to the minister. I would have expected, and I think every reasonable person would have been with me, that the core of that letter would have been, minister, please, we need more time. This man cannot go on within the next week or after 7 days to implement the arrest or the search and seizure. But what do we find? That's not the core of the matter. The core of the matter then is, please find out, I want to know what is the evidence against the letter. In other words, the core of the letter deals not with the time element. It does not deal at all with the environment that must be created. It deals with, do you have evidence against it? Deals with the arrest. Secondly, exactly the same thing happens now in the letter by the Honourable Mabasa. What does she write? Does she tell him, listen, state security, national security is at play here. We need to do some things. We need to get the Security Council together. We need to take certain steps. Can you please delay the implementation of the warrants? Does she do that? Not at all. She says, bring me your evidence. Once again, and she goes, of course, on to say in no uncertain terms, and you stop the implementation of the arrest. In other words, once again, it's about the arrest. It's not about creating and time to create an environment that would be conducive to the arrest and that would not endanger safe security. Thirdly, when these steps are taken by the president to suspend Mr. McCormick, one would expect that this matter, that was the crux, that was the bubble that burst, as it was put by Reverend Chikami, but he didn't put it like that, but that's the essence of crux of evidence for it. That would be the thing. Mention why I am sustaining you. You do not take into account national security when you issue warrants for what you want to implement. So I have to suspend you in order that national security should not be endangered. Do we find that? No. We get the nonsense reasons, two nonsense reasons, which are afterwards totally rejected by the Nirmala. There's a breakdown of trust between you and the minister. Maybe you look about this, how you could have their thought on Kuhlman if something was just beyond comprehension. Now, and then the other thing that's been all of a sudden grabbed and was never ever discussed according to the evidence, something totally new. When you enter into pre-bargaining, you don't follow the law. What accident, with all due respect, Chairperson, a rush in the light of what the Director General tells us, and I fully accept his evidence. It was straightforward.
My brother was a prisoner, no?
My brother was a wonderful
order. My mind that I was a citizen.
I was
trying to like find one of the words that we speak to use in the family in the house. It was a suggestion from the husband.
I'll give you all the
word. If I did not hear that, then that's what I'm afraid I said.
What other incomprehensions of this question? I'll change the language with incomprehension of statement.
Try nonsense.
Now, check. Now, with all due respect, not even in the terms of reference was this a good issue.
Oh, he's threatening national security.
My, I feel of safety, as I said here. If all is here, is a threat to national security. Not even in the terms of reference was that included. Today we hear very reliably everything. That was the crux of this whole action. Jenny, can you, what do you believe?
Yeah.
What do you believe after the evidence of Reverend Chikani? What does all my, what do all my colleagues over there believe?
Yeah.
I think, my question now is, Reverend, what do you say? Do you comment on this and try to get out of this one?
colleagues, South Africans, I don't know about that one. So that's how we feel about our issues that are very sensitive about what I need to face. Well, you so well, I said, no, I don't think they want to spoil it. We're not alone. Thank you very much, sir. The next speaker will be Dr. Swartz.
In the tavern. You want to smuggle it?
And to add to what my colleague has said, and say, question to you, the Reverend Chikon, E.G. I'm not trying to understand the issue of the 14 days, and I'd like you just to consider the fact that Advocate Cody met with the President and briefed him on 10 occasions since March 2006. He also met with the Minister and briefed her on the Salary investigation on 13 occasions. As early as 7th of May, back here, they had indicated in a written report that the intention was to get warrants against the National Police Commissioner. Should with that in mind, that environment should already started to be put in place for security considerations. And bear also in mind the fact that to obtain such a warrant, an order was granted by a Supreme Court Judge, Mojapela, who would also consider the implications of a warrant against the National Peace Commissioner and the security consideration arising from that. So it seems to have even granted the 7 days was indulgence from the National Prosecution Authority. And it does seem that this is an afterthought that is now being added to justify the suspension. If I understood Reverend Chikani correctly, he indicated that at no stage did the President stop the prosecution of the National Peace Commission. But in effect, he did. By suspending Advocate Cohen, the prosecution and the execution of the warrants was stopped until December of that year. So we need greater clarity on that, as well as the fact that the issue was not mentioned in the letter that the President sent to the Minister, and it was not mentioned in the terms of reference, the whole issue of the environment that has to be created. This obviously is very clearly the crux of the whole issue that we're dealing with, and it doesn't seem to be credible, with all due respect, to now raise these as articles, and it's very clear that the attempts were to stop the prosecution of Cathy Saleh. If one bears in mind, we also comment on the fact that the nation was advised earlier
to trust the President in regard to the National Peace Commission. That was a statement that was made by the President, trust in that regard. And I don't know exactly when that statement was made, but I'm sure it was subsequent to March 2006, when the first briefing on this alleged investigation was made to the State President and Becky at that stage. If you could just comment on those aspects, we'd appreciate it. And secondly, the issue was raised by my colleague relating to what appears to us to be the obstruction by the South African Peace Service of the investigation, of the investigation, and what role does the President take to alleviate that, particularly in view that Africa, because he said yesterday that most recently of this week, the National Prosecuting Authority had to apply for subpoenas against high-ranking peace officials to obtain the required cooperation and documentation that to date has not been forthcoming to enable the National Prosecuting Authority to complete its investigations. So it seems that there is a dire lack of cooperation from the South African Peace Services side in this regard. And if I understand you correct, that was going to be facilitated by the Office of the Presidency. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Can I recognize the number of choice model? I have a big choice model.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think most of the issues that I wanted to raise have been raised in one of and I'm satisfied about how they were raised. The only thing we will just emphasize the issue of the Rosemont Court really want to get much more clarity. I would like to elaborate the theory to actually capture if it's quite clear now. But while all the issues are already covered and checked, I think I really have to bring the fact that I'm very much aggrieved, you know, by the fact that, you know, I'm feeling you in front and I don't know some members by name, but the member was referred as Honorable Gould, I'm from there. I'm very aggrieved about the fact that someone, about the fact that he actually referred to the interest so much against everything people. I must say, I was actually listening quite carefully. The manner even, you know, in which he was articulating that he was so angry when he was actually talking about it. So I said that it appealed to an ordinary man. Anybody speaking to him would feel that as the angry people, we have every morning, prepare ourselves to go and what you can go. I think that's an unsafe and wrong situation. And I cannot show you share. No media loves stimulators that any other people could. And I think, you know, surely, even as a new member, it's scary to tell us how possible is that, you know, we're forced that way. And I think it's unsafe. And I think that attitude has to be corrected, especially in the right of when we started with this conflict commission, it was indication of a view, what is this monitor? This is a quite critical matter, where all of us have to be objective in terms of dealing with it. We were warned. I don't know what I'm sure in any participation or anything else, where this kind of wonder and hate so much as a kid because to me, as a commissioner, I believe that it polarizes the atmosphere, it creates a situation which is unstable, it doesn't create a correct environment for any such participation yet. And I think it definitely has to be corrected. You know, because to be crucified is how everything is very good. Thank you.
To say that they have to find to win another because the AIDS, the comparison, even when one advocate when was appointed after the resignation of advocate Joga, it was a very simple position, passes that had serious problems with his appointment.
when they were even questioning some of the situation. So it is important that we understand the situation for the record. And particularly in relation to the history of the ANC. So they shouldn't now behave as if they so much love from the people.
I mean,
the capital person is full to the GT, of course, others would be affected in the Ministry of Justice. Is the level of, you see, yesterday, the advocate presented his case to the committee and created a picture that can serve to us. There was a very good relationship between himself and the presidency and the ministry. But the question that comes to mind is, based on this development, how would the Director General Jacob analyze the level of trust that has emerged between the presidency, the ministry, and advocate colleagues? To what extent would it affect the working of the directorate in relation, of course, to the development? And part linked to that, of course, the question of whether the presidency or the president is the president of last to by virtue of having established the fund, is your last to accept the recommendations or conclusions that the empire has arrived at and without even satisfying themselves. And here is on the basis of my own understanding, because the impression created yesterday, given by the advocate when he started, it was more about he's been vindicated by the commission, he's been vindicated by this, he's been vindicated by that. Now, there's so much of an emphasis of this vindication, then one begins to ask himself a question as to whether. If the commission established by the president arrives at a particular conclusion, if the president obliged to take that recommendation blindly without satisfying himself, on all other factors, of course, that might be out of the report. Of course, taking into account the adverse matters that were raised also by the commission. By the commission. Secondly, or firstly, the advocate yesterday also, when he started his presentation, he gave us a very historical analysis and his own understanding of security matters and security environment, relating or even checking back to his role security cluster and conferences and so on. It's quite interesting. But the DG is giving us a different picture. Now, my question is that as the DG said, that in terms of his own understanding and the presence in particular, that the advocate does not have a clear understanding of the security environment under which he's operating. Or does not have an understanding of the risks involved under the environment for which he's operating. It would be good for us to have that understanding from the DG. The other question relates to the question of the water. Maybe I might not have captured what the teacher said in part today, but it would be important that the teacher be quite fine if I didn't capture it earlier. He says that by the time the advocate met with the president, he already had the warrant of arrest. So therefore, does that mean that when the advocate met with the president, the president was not even informed
but the ones have become, what are the implications of that kind of situation when you have a head of state, and of course, linked to what one of them, Patricia Tulema raised on the whole notion of national security, which is not so clear. And I think such a 198 in terms of the policy can clearly define national security means, and our understanding is when we are members of parliament. And I think that's when we withdraw our understanding of issues of national security from the very same constitution that we are sought to protect and to adhere to our change. So maybe we could even be cautious if we can be clarified on the question. By the time the last thing that the president doesn't mean that the president was only aware that the ones have been issued. The DG also speaks of the impression created by the advocates in the settlement. The issue has been under pressure from some points to give my own understanding that he was desperate to implement some things, like some form of pushing to implement those kinds of things. That's a big bad impression I get from other videos. Can you share some light with us? Because obviously we need to understand if there are other factors, external factors, under which the advocate found himself that pushed him so much that he ended up being so desperate to execute some of the, or to implement some of the issues of these ones and so on. The last issue, relates to the question of aging. It does in fact chapter systems, very well intelligence. Applications and who's responsible for this myself. But I want to know from the president, I don't know if the DG would respond to this, as to would it be correct for a national director who has been dedicated some responsibilities by the state president to have such a labor spread? When it comes to issues of basic, that once he knows very well that an investigation for a disease is going to be undertaken by people that he is not even sure that they are basic, he is not even aware who is going to do that, is it proper, is it fit to then sit in your office and say, or for us to say, actually, I don't even know. My division or director in the task is responsible for the task. Should you therefore define that kind of person as fit to hold such a strategic office where he is not even proactive to ensure that the NIA has not responded? But yet, it's this operation that is being executed. He's not even sure what he lets it go. Give us an impression that such a professional person is fit to be given something.
No,
thank you very much. That was a round of applause. Before I give the last speakers to other questions, that will be honorable and the question of the honorable. And the efficiency are actually concerned with the petrol and the very bad closing. And that is scary to Japanese. Not to see our people in this world silent. It's quite scary to Japanese like our friends. We don't find any way in the country. We can allow them to have it. Now, there is a confident, progressive proposal that we allow this number to have their questions. But the responses come after lunch. That's the progressive proposal from the two of us, you know? And I know it's a suggestion, not for the concerns of the political. One thing I'm thinking about how to respond to this question of opposing.
Can I talk my own to it?
The finding that Mr. Cawley does not possess all of the qualities required in the National Program for the Public Prosecution, was that at any stage discussed with him? But I mean, we have to deal here with a very senior person with a long history. If he called me and I said, you see, man, sit down, we have a problem, let's discuss it. The other matter is that the reference farming creates the impression that the candidacy was prepared to assist all the way to find the information that they needed. But I believe 18 months down the line, we still haven't ordered it. We still haven't received the information that was required.
Thank you, Chairperson.
When the Reverend finally gave his version, I was, as the Bible said, Caesar Agrippa said to Paul, "Je beweeg my uncle om een Christen te worden. You're almost moving me to become a Christian." The Reverend also almost moved me to accept these versions, almost. And what I understood from him is that in fact Mr. Piccoli was very unfair. He came there, he wanted to proceed, he only wanted to be 7 days. He didn't take into account security and the risk and the public interest. He just wanted to rush in where he was there to pray. Now on that basis, obviously, he's making out the case. But the position is very clear, as my colleague Swart has shown, that more than a dozen interviews have taken place, and the president and the presidency were well aware of the fact that this is pending. So the whole seriousness of that, the unfair pressure that Mr. Piccoli was allegedly put on them, disappeared. And the case that Dr. Chikani made out of the whole charging into a China shop was not correct. There was ample time for the presidency to prepare for this. And finally, I agree with one of my colleagues that this security thing is new. It's new, and the reason why it's there, it has become clear to the presidency or the ANC decision makers that the committee is saddled with an impossible task. We cannot just ignore the Jivala findings and all his assertions, and what is happening is the security thing is thrown in as a life jacket. I'm sorry, I am not moved to become a Christian, a follower of the version put forward by the Reverend, because they had known for a long time that this was coming and they should have prepared for it.
And I will have another. The question was, how will my robot do that? Why not another 8 years so much? But the
No, she didn't say that.
Oh, no,
she didn't say that I ate it. She says, why do I say that the ANC?
I will have another.
I don't hate that you are, not even you, Paul.
But what on that note then? We are agreed that the rules will take responsibility at the hands. And you are, all of us, invited by two chairs, the two dynamic chairs, to come and enjoy our juicy, delicious, sumptuous lunch. And the all of us in the restaurant. The meeting, let's
go. You are assuming or announcing that you are